Roethlisberger, the quarterback, was all hug it, chug it, football all night.
Hearts are pounding in Denver. Nobody but Terrell here. Davis into the end zone, rocking, standing up. Denver is in the lead. Denver's going to win it. Oh, baby, they're going to win this thing.
Probably the final play of the game. It is caught by Dyson. Can he get in? No, he cannot. And the Rams have won the Super Bowl.
There's one thing I want to say here tonight. It's only four words. This one's for John.
Thanks for joining us on Name Change Pending Today. This is your host, Brian Priest. I'm joined by Tommy Girone.
Good morning, everybody.
Tommy Girone, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's a little early for me, but hey.
Yeah, it's real early. I was a little delayed getting into work this morning. We're getting started right around 7 a.m. here Thursday morning, so it's going to be a pretty good time. Today we are talking about the NFL Conference Championships. We've got a big Sunday afternoon slate. Titans go into Kansas City taking on the Chiefs. So these teams met in week 10 of the regular season with the Titans coming out on top 35-32. That game was in Tennessee, I believe. Ryan Tannehill threw for 181 yards, two touchdowns. Derrick Henry, again, we'll talk about him a whole lot today. He had 23 carries for 188 yards and two touchdowns. Tyreek Hill had 11 receptions, 157 yards and one touchdown. Pat Mahomes, 446 yards, three touchdowns, 36 of 50 passing. So it was a good game, back and forth. Titans were able to come out on top. It'll be a fun little rematch we have, so let's jump right into it. Titans are 9-7. We're 9-7 in the regular season. They got the second wild card this year coming out of the AFC South. Kind of a surprise team coming out of the South, but they were led by Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. Tannehill took over in, I believe it was week 7 for Marcus Mariota. He ended up with just over 2,700 yards passing on the season, threw for 22 touchdowns, a little bit above average QBR of 65. And then I'm gonna skip Derrick Henry for just a minute. I'll toss that over to you so you can talk about him, Tommy. And then also rookie wide receiver A.J. Brown for the Titans had 1,051 receiving yards, 52 catches, and 8 touchdowns on the season. Titans have been looking for a number one wide receiver for a long time. A.J. Brown came in. And, man, a little bit off topic, but how did Ole Miss not win a national championship last year, at least be in competition with A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf at wide receiver? I don't understand. But then Derrick Henry at running back. Tommy came over last weekend. We were watching the games, and he was all about some Derrick Henry. So you want to talk about him really quick, Tommy?
Love to. So we've talked about Derrick Henry before, and we've kind of gone off that. You preach his inconsistencies. He'll get you. He'll have a game where maybe he'll go 100+,
mm-hmm.
get you a couple scores. But you think that those games and throughout the season are kind of, they're very minimal. They're not as consistent as someone would like in a franchise running back.
In his previous 3 years, yes.
Okay. Because Derrick Henry for the season went 1,540 yards, averaged 5 yards a carry.
Hey, don't sell the man short. He led the league with 1,540 yards rushing.
Yeah, led the league.
Jeez.
And averaged 102 yards per game. I mean, even from week 10 to about week 17, averaged about 150 yards per game just within those 7 weeks.
Yeah, and he went wild after Tannehill took over a quarterback.
Yeah, and then six of those games were 100. And then three of those six were 150+.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and then even say, you could even say four because one of them was like 143 if you want to get technical, but I didn't include that one.
I mean, if you want to get technical, then it's not 150 yards. It's 143.
Yeah.
We're not rounding up.
And so a lot of people are saying with Derrick Henry, does the lightning strike three times? And so I look at week 17. He rashed. You know, when you're running all those yards, you get a little
get some cream,
get some chafe. Week 17 rushed for 211 yards. And then what? The next week's wild card.
Yeah, against the Patriots.
Yeah, so he didn't have a break. So then lightning strikes twice with 34 rushes, 182 yards, and one score. What the Titans basically did was just pound the piss out of the ball. And, I mean, it seemed to work against a team. I mean, you run that many times, Derrick Henry's just going to beat up your defense.
Well, and that's, I mean, with the Patriots, that's how you attack their defense, is by rushing the ball. So it made a lot of sense. What surprised me, and I'm sure you're going to get into it next, was how effective he was running against that Ravens front that had, I believe I was looking at the numbers, as 63% of the times the Titans lined up to snap the ball, the Ravens had eight men in the box. So it's 63% of the time, eight men in the box, and Derrick Henry still had, what were his numbers in that game?
So he rushed 30 times, 195 yards, no scores, but he passed, he threw for one.
Just ridiculous.
So, and I think what it is he's just such a beast of a human being. Like, he's as big as some linebackers. And when you have a
bigger than some linebackers.
Yeah. And so when you have someone running downhill like he is 30 times a game, you're going to get tired. What are you going to do? Just dive at his legs that are probably ginormous as well?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't leg tackle this guy. You can't arm tackle him either. What I think the Titans do is they just say, here, Henry, go ahead. And he just bulldozes. And whether it's 5 yards here, 6 yards here, that's a tough 6 yards for the defense, you know, like they're on their back. You know, he's falling forward. There's not a lot of times where the defense is stuffing him and he goes backwards. A lot of the time he's falling forward.
Yeah, Derrick Henry is one of those backs. That Christian Okoye was one of them. Guys who hit the defender rather than the defender hitting them. These guys that lower the shoulder and run through the defenders. Another thing that last point on Derrick Henry before we move on to the Chiefs and then kind of make our predictions about the AFC Championship. But I was reading about the eight men in the box and how Derrick Henry, why has he been able to be successful? And there was an interesting point made that I think has some merit that I hadn't really thought of before. But when you've got eight men in the box and you're stacking the line like that trying to stop Derrick Henry, if he gets through that first level, that's why he ends up with so many breakaway runs, because there are no defensive backs there to tackle him once he gets through the first level. And I hadn't really thought about that, because when you look at the man, he's so big, I think it's kind of deceiving, but he's so big that he doesn't look like he's running that fast.
Oh, yeah. It's very, the way he runs, it doesn't look, but then you just see him breaking away. And I mean, don't get me wrong, the DBs will catch him, but I mean, he breaks away, gets to the 10-yard line, and then, you know, does a little alley-oop pass in the end zone, and then, you know, gets himself a passing touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's been an incredible back. I really liked him coming out of Alabama. Disappointing the first 3 years in the league, but this year he's just been awesome. In his last three games, what he's done rushing, over 30 carries and over 180 yards in each of the last three games, two of them in the playoffs, the wild card and the divisional round. Never been done before in the NFL, even when rushing attack was more prominent than it is today. So impressive what the Titans have been able to do. Let's jump into the Chiefs now. Chiefs on the season. Give me 1 second while I pull up these numbers. The Chiefs went 12-4. They won the AFC West. And they were led, obviously, by last year's MVP, Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes missed a few games this season. I'll talk about that a little bit. So he ended up throwing for 4,031 yards, had 26 touchdowns on the season, QBR of 78. Damian Williams, and shoot, Tommy, you could talk about the Chiefs running backs, too, since you had all of them on your roster throughout the season.
Yeah.
But Damian Williams, in the regular season, 498 rushing yards, and 111 carries, 5 touchdowns. Kind of disappointing. Well, he was a back I liked coming into the year.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And a lot of the reason why he was on my fantasy team is he was really liked going into the year. Could catch the ball out of the backfield. You know, could do a lot for that Kansas. Like, you assume another weapon for that Kansas City offense.
Mm-hmm.
Came in and kind of, you know, had some moments. Got hurt. Missed about, I think, a couple weeks, 3 weeks maybe.
Yeah, he was on the injured list for a while.
Yeah, and then that's when but they also had other backs like Darrell Williams or Daryl.
I think it's Darrell.
Okay, Darrell Williams.
Shady McCoy.
Yeah, then they picked up, you know, they picked up McCoy. Was it in the off season or kind of in the middle of the
right before the season started.
Yeah, so just before the season started. So they stacked up on running backs.
And the leading receiver was their tight end, Travis Kelce, had 1,229 yards, 97 receptions on the year for 5 touchdowns. Man, I'll tell you, the thing about this Chiefs team, I look at them, when I believe I said this to you earlier in the season when specifically after that Thursday night game when Patrick Mahomes dislocated his kneecap, I made the comment that I thought this could be the best thing that happens to the Chiefs because Mahomes had been struggling for a couple weeks, had a left ankle injury that he had re-aggravated a couple times and just wasn't playing like what we have come to expect from Patrick Mahomes. Then he dislocated his kneecap against the Broncos, ended up missing
two weeks, maybe three.
I'm not totally sure. But since he's come back, this Chiefs team has really taken off. And they put up 51 points last week after giving up a 24-0 deficit last week in the divisional round against the Texans. I feel like this Chiefs team is playing their best football of the season. They went on to score 51 consecutive points. And apparently, I was told yesterday, we got a scoregami from that game as well. A score in the NFL that had never happened before, 51-24. So this Chiefs team's good. What are your predictions for this AFC championship?
My predictions is... I was also impressed with the Titans' defense against a team that could really throw the ball to. Like, I think I was really impressed when they went up against the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. I mean, they really – his numbers show that they didn't stop him, but the film – I guess in the film, to me, it looks like that defense kind of – you know, they held him to 2 fourth downs, turnover on downs. Mm-hmm. So I'm really in love with the Titans right now, just as far as the playoff team, dark horse. And I think with as bad as the Kansas City defense is, I don't think they could stop the run. I don't think they have the tools to stop a runner like Derrick Henry. And I honestly think Henry could have his way with them. On the other hand, they're just so fast in the wide receiver position. Mm-hmm. Like, we talked about this at our beginning of the season podcast. Like, they have 3 guys who run 4.3s.
Maybe, and it seemed like they added 2 more throughout the season.
Exactly. And so...
my boy Pringle. Byron.
Yeah. And and so, well, I'd like to see what Kansas City's defense... or not Kansas City. The Titans' defense does with the speed on this team. Also, now they have a star tight end as well. So... everything's telling me give the edge to the Chiefs just based on that and just because everyone else is doing it, but also everyone else is doing it, and I really like how much momentum the Titans have. I think as long as the Titans can keep that momentum, Derrick Henry's not too beat up, too tired for running the ball for, I don't know, almost 500 yards, give or take, I don't know, throughout – since like week 10, probably more than 100 yards since week 10, 500 yards since week 10. I think the Titans have a chance to shock the world and go to the Super Bowl. I take the Titans.
Okay, good. I thought you were going to hedge on me there. So I think, okay. Well, fair enough. The Titans have looked great. They really have turned it on since Tannehill took over. I remember the Titans watching them against the Broncos in... shooters. I think it was week 6 because Tannehill took over in week 7. Broncos ended up, Mariota started that game. The Broncos pushed Mariota out. Tannehill took over, I believe, in the 3rd quarter of that game. Broncos shut that team out 16-0. So I didn't have a real high opinion of the Titans, but over the last month, you know, 6 weeks or so, they've really come on. They finished the regular season strong, and they've looked good. Derrick Henry, we've talked about him plenty. When I look at the Kansas City Chiefs, I also think they're playing their best football of the season, as I've already said. Offensively, they're incredible right now. Patrick Mahomes is playing his best football of the season. Damian Williams also playing his best football of the season. And as you mentioned, Tommy, they have so many weapons on the offensive side. I think one of the really big things here in this game, something that hasn't been talked about, Chris Jones, the defensive tackle for the Chiefs. He was a surprise scratch last week for the Chiefs against the Texans. And he has yet to practice this week. So if Chris Jones doesn't play, then I think that gives Tennessee an advantage and could make things really tough. If Chris Jones is there in the middle of the defensive line, I think that gives the Chiefs a better opportunity to be able to slow down Derrick Henry, as well as just a better pass rush when Tannehill does drop back. He's only been, I think he only threw the ball 12 times in the divisional round. But when he does drop back, if you can get some pressure on him, that's just going to be a better thing for the Chiefs. You've got the Titans in this game. I feel like the Chiefs are just a more talented team, and while both are playing their best football of the season, I'm going to take the talent, and I'm going to go Chiefs to win this game 38-24. It's going to be a high-scoring game, assuming the weather's good. I never did look at that. Yeah. So we will take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll take a look at the NFC Championship game between the San Francisco 49ers and Green Bay Packers. Thanks for joining us on Name Change Pending. Thank you for listening to this episode of Name Change Pending. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Name Change Pending and subscribe to get the newest episodes of the podcast and to check out photos of hosts Josh Keel, Tommy Girone, and Brian Priest as we travel the continent to do what we love, watch sports. Also, I know you've got a lot going on today, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your busy schedule to give the podcast a 5-star review on your podcatcher of choice, we would greatly appreciate it. Those algorithms can be tricky, and all I know is that 5-star ratings jump us up the lists. So thanks for tuning in, and now back to the show. Welcome back to Name Change Pending. This is your host, Brian Priest, joined by Tommy Girone.
Woo woo.
We're talking about the conference championship games going on this Sunday in the NFL. We already talked about the Titans-Chiefs. The first game in the afternoon, first game in the morning, I guess. And then next we'll jump into the Green Bay Packers traveling to the Bay Area, taking on the San Francisco 49ers. These teams met in week 12 this season. You want to give us a little recap of that, Tommy?
Yeah, so Packers-Niners met in week 12, where it's safe to say the Niners just demolished the Packers. 37-8.
Demolish.
Sure. I mean, depends on who you ask.
Ask the Packers.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the Packers are looking for some revenge here in the playoffs, you know. But in the game, Rodgers threw for 20 completions at 33 attempts, 104 yards, one touchdown, was on his back a lot, got sacked 5 times this game, and then had to scramble 3 times for about 13 yards, had one fumble and lost that fumble as well. The rushing stats, honestly, between Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones, they didn't even get above 100 yards rushing, as well as no touchdowns. So the rushing attack that people said going into the playoffs was going to help them was not working against the Niners in week 12. Davante Adams, their leading receiver, targeted 12 times, caught 7 with 43 yards and that one touchdown pass by Rodgers.
Okay.
Other than that, you know, you have a few other targets that got targeted. Jimmy Graham got targeted twice. And that's honestly about it as far as like numbers that pop out as far as on this team. For the Niners, Jimmy G threw 14 completions out of 20 attempts, 253 yards, 2 scores, was sacked 3 times, fumbled once, but they recovered it. As far as, you know, the rushing attack they had, they switched it between Coleman and Raheem Mostert?
Raheem Mostert.
Oh, okay. So I was close.
Yeah.
Between the two, no touchdowns. They didn't reach 100 yards, but I'm pretty sure that the defense kept them in this game, especially with those 2 scores from Jimmy G. Which were, he had 1 touchdown to George Kittle, who had an amazing game, 6 receptions, 129 yards, as well as Kendrick Bourne. Debo Samuel, who had 2 receptions, 50 yards, 1 score. Not a lot of turnovers in this game, no interceptions. Let's see if Rodgers had any. Nope, 0 interceptions on both. As far as defensively, you know, 3 sacks to 5. And I just think that as far as getting their run game going, the San Francisco defense just had the edge against the Packers in week 12.
Yeah, I mean, 37-8. So obviously the Packers are going to be coming into this game looking for a little bit of revenge on that
Some
one.
Blood.
Also, Aaron Rodgers. Yeah,
Rodgers.
Sure, this has been a little bit of a storyline this week. I haven't been able to watch much TV, but I'm guaranteeing the national media outlets have picked this up and ran with it. But Aaron Rodgers thought he was going to be a San Francisco 49er the year he came out of the draft. And the Niners ended up picking Alex Smith. Rodgers fell to, I believe it was a 20th pick or something like that, taken by the Packers. I'd say it's worked out for the Packers pretty well. Alex Smith played well enough to not be considered a bust. He was a good, you know, middle-of-the-pack quarterback.
Especially when he got out of San, like, his last year in San Francisco, and then from there until when he was playing with the Chiefs. He's an all right quarterback.
Yeah, he was fine. He led him to the playoffs a few times.
He's no Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers. But, so this will be a fun game. Look at some of the numbers coming into this. Tommy talked about Jimmy Garoppolo. He threw for 3,978 yards in a regular season, 27 touchdowns, QBR of 60.2. Not a real high QBR, but he made plays when he needed to. The thing about Jimmy Garoppolo, if I was a 49ers fan, it kind of scares me because I feel like every game he throws one to two balls to the defense, right to the defense. Not like a
throws it hard enough, it just hits their chest plate and bounces.
Yeah, it's not
off.
Like a DB or linebacker has to make a play on it. Just get your hands on it.
Very Philip Rivers-esque of him.
Tommy's very familiar with that. So Garoppolo is going to want to clean that up going into this game. The Packers have a good, strong secondary. Tommy also mentioned Raheem Mostert. He's the running back for the Niners. 772 yards on 137 carries, 8 touchdowns. Mostert's not your typical NFL back, but because of the scheme the 49ers run and misdirection and a lot of the way they do pre-snap motion, Mostert's been able to have a very successful season with those 772 yards and 8 scores. And then George Kittle, probably right now, I would say the best tight end in the game all around, blocking, receiving, and just, I mean, the best interview in the game as well. So, story about him, apparently he went out and got a big, like, Joker tattoo of the Joker from Batman on his forearm the morning of his wedding. And, you know, bride-to-be was kind of pissed when he showed up with his arm wrapped up, but what can you do?
Hey, that's love.
So, Kittle had 1,053 yards receiving, 85 catches, and 5 touchdowns on the season. And looking at the Green Bay Packers...
Packers.
The Packers with Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers had been, it almost seems like he's been mortal this season. He wasn't the all-world quarterback throwing for 5,000 yards that we're used to. He threw for 4,000 yards, 26 touchdowns, just barely above average QBR of 53.5. This was Rodgers' first year with new head coach Matt LaFleur.
LaFleur.
It seemed like it was an adjustment early in the year. The Packers' offense was just kind of slow to get started. Running back Aaron Jones had 1,084 yards and 16 touchdowns. Packers really are pretty deep at running back between Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. It's a good backfield there for the Packers. And then Devontae Adams at wide receiver, 997 yards, 83 catches, 5 touchdowns. And this is a case of two more teams that are just playing good football going into this conference championship game. So what do you want to talk about with this one, Tommy?
You touched on it. Jimmy G's just decision-making as far as throwing the ball, I don't think it's elite. I don't think it's, you know, he definitely tries to fit the ball in places that he shouldn't. And he's lucky that, I don't know, the defense doesn't know how to catch, or he throws the ball just hard enough that it, you know, surprises the defense as well when they see a ball coming at them. They're like, oh, yeah.
It seems like every year there's a couple quarterbacks who should have twice as many interceptions as they end up with. And I think Garoppolo was that guy this year.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I don't... That Niners defense is just scary good. I think they're just monsters on that front line. Linebackers are tough. I mean, and then you have someone like Richard Sherman as your as a defensive back to lead the defensive backs as far as confidence and just knowledge of the game. So, I mean, I'm giving the edge to the Niners just because based on defense. I'm not blown away by their offense. I mean, okay, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel. But like I said, I think it's that defense that gets them to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Tommy, I agree. You talk about that Niners defense a little bit. Last year, it was amazing to me when we were doing our preseason prediction show. I was looking up some of the numbers. The Niners defense forced one interception last season. And this year, they ended up with 13 interceptions. You know, come back to the pack a little bit, a progression to the mean. And it's a really tough Niners defense with Nick Bosa coming off of the edge. You mentioned Richard Sherman. They've got some good linebackers. Fred Warner back there at linebacker. It's just a good, solid unit. But this Packers offensive line is pretty damn good, too. Like I've liked what the offensive line has done. Even last week, their right tackle, I believe it was right tackle, Brian Bulaga, was getting ready for the game about 10 minutes before game time. He was like, I'm too sick. I can't go. And so their backup tackle, Jared Valdir, had to come in. And in 63, Jared Valdir, not only did he have to come in and realize he was playing 10 minutes before the game, he retired before the season started. The Packers coaxed him out of retirement mid-season. So Valdir comes in and in 63 snaps doesn't allow a single pressure. So Packers offensive line looked really good there, and I just feel like this is going to be a fun matchup between these two teams.
You think low scoring, high scoring? I say low scoring.
I just think it's going to be a close game. I mean, if I was saying like a 21-17, that's just average, right?
Yeah,
I wouldn't call it low scoring necessarily, just a good hard-fought game.
I don't see either of these teams, especially with Rodgers being 14 years into his career, I think, something like that, give or take. I don't see either team putting up, like, Chief numbers.
No, not at all. I don't think either of these teams are going to come out and put 50 on the board, even 40 on the board.
Well, even 30. I think it's a 24-17 game.
Okay.
I'll give the edge to the Niners.
So you're going to take the Niners. All right, so we're going to disagree here. It sounds like we're disagreeing on both games.
Oh, you priest.
So you got Titans-Niners in the Super Bowl. I'm going to go with the Packers in this game. I'm believing in the Aaron Rodgers revenge factor. I think he's going to come in.
Rodgers.
I know, right? It's 14 years. Jeez, man.
You've had a hell of a career. Hell of a run.
What are you, still mad at Brett Favre for sitting those first 3 years, too? Gosh. But I look at this Packers team, and they're playing good football right now. When these teams matched up in Week 12, the Packers just struggled to look like what I expected from the Packers throughout most of the season. And I think that Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur really are growing some of that chemistry, and they're going to be able to come out and I think they're going to surprise the 49ers. Packers are going to come out quick, put a couple scores on the board, you know, 7-10 points, maybe even two touchdowns. And then I think it's going to be a turnover issue for the 49ers. I think this Packers secondary is going to convert on some of those opportunities that Jimmy Garoppolo has given teams throughout the season. And I'm going to give this a 27-10 Packers. So an upset, bit of a blowout on the road. And I've got a Packers, Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl, State Farm's dream matchup.
I'm just thinking in my head, if Kyle Shanahan loses to the Packers, when they shake hands, is he telling Matt LaFleur, he's like, cramming up your cram hole, LaFleur, this is my trophy. That's what I've been thinking about. Talking about this NFC.
Little dodgeball reference there for anybody not understanding that one. I like it. I hope something like that is said. Yeah. Good times. But thanks for joining us on Name Change Pending today. That's your conference championship preview. And be sure and tune in. I'm certain we'll have a Super Bowl preview up in a couple of weeks. And in the meantime, We'll try and get a show or two out. We'll see how our schedules work out. I know it's been kind of hit or miss lately, but thanks for being a loyal name change pending listener, and have yourselves a wonderful conference championship weekend. Tommy, do you have any social media you can throw out there for the masses to follow you on?
Go ahead and follow me on Twitter at Ruthless underscore Lupe. That's RUTHLESS underscore LUPE.
We appreciate you joining us on Name Change Pending today. Make sure and jump on Twitter. Follow your hosts, Brian Priest at BPriest24, Tommy Girone at Ruthless underscore Lupe, and Josh Keel at Rise and Shout. Also, we know that you're busy, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your day and give us a 5-star rating on your podcatcher of choice, that would be so amazing. Help us move up those algorithms. I don't totally understand how they work, but I know with some 5-star ratings, the podcast shows up higher on the lists. And we want to help other people find the show, don't we? Doesn't really matter what you say for us. Maybe suggest some new verses for Ruthless Lupe. But thanks again for joining us, and stay tuned for more episodes of Name Change Pending.